3, 2, 1.
This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, for the introduction, and you're listening to BPN Radio, Seismic Radio, here in the Christian War Room. Okay, we've got a really interesting talk for you, and it's from Billy Crone from Sunrise Church in Las Vegas, Nevada, and he has done so far two talks on two Sundays on the armor of God. So this is a second talk. We're going to split it up in either two or three sections, and we're going to run it here on BPN Radio in the evenings in our half-hour slot here on the Christian War Room. It's very important stuff. I mean, some of the main points, let me anticipate them. Billy Crone is talking about that we are not walking in our own power, but we are walking in the power of God, providing we put on the armor of God, which is described in Ephesians chapter 6. And if we walk in the power of God and we put on the armor of God, the enemy has got nothing to hold against us. Billy makes one very, very important point, and that is that Peter talks about the devil, you know, the attacks of the devil, and he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So it's all about making a stand and standing when the going gets tough. And it's quite important as well, and I sort of had to think about some of the armies which wouldn't stand in the sight of the enemy, which would stand in the sight of the enemy, not run away, and providing they had the nerve to stand up and to take some of the punishment and some of the attacks from the enemy, eventually the enemy would freak out and run off. Now, Billy Crone makes a very, very valid point here, and that is that God is on our side, and we have got God's protection on our side as well. So his protection is not perfect, kind of works most of the time, but not always. It works sometimes. No, it's all wrong. His protection is perfect. God's protection is perfect. So if we can apply, like in Ephesians, the shield of faith, It'll be perfect. We will be able to protect ourselves perfectly. And so it's very, very important to understand in what power we are walking. And that's sometimes the biggest problem we have within the church, that we don't realize in what power we are walking. But we are, you know, a little bit Mickey Mousey and get a bit scared, and an attack comes around the corner and we just freak out and don't know what to do. It's not biblical, okay? The biblical version is we stand our ground, we don't give up our ground, and we oppose, we resist. And at that point, the victory is ours. Okay, let's tune in to Billy Crone, and I'll sort of come towards the end again when he's done. And bear in mind, so this is going to be today, and it's going to be in two parts, so it's going to be kind of cut off somewhere in the middle. And the next part is going to be tomorrow, okay? I'm not quite sure when it's broadcasting, so if it's on a Friday, it will be on a Monday. Okay, stay tuned here. The Christian War Room, we are going to war, and let me just sort of reiterate it, for the 50th time, I think, it is not a war against flesh and blood. It's a war against the powers of the air, against the principalities in another dimension, to use modern terminology, in another dimension. And we are rising up against these powers, and we are going to war. What is the object of our battle? The object of our battle is the souls of men and women to make sure that they are not going to hell, but that they find redemption in Jesus Christ and will go to a blessed eternity in heaven. That is really what we are looking for. That is really what we are fighting for. And bear this in mind. So it's not a jihad. Yeah? We don't kill anybody. We don't need to kill anybody. we go against spiritual forces, not against physical forces, even though very often physical forces go against us and they try to silence us, they try to shut us down, but we are moving on. Okay, stay tuned here for Billy Crone.
Hey, last week, if you were here, raise your hand. All right, how many guys went home and looked up the Shaanxi earthquake? Praise God, none of you. At least you're honest today. That's good. Well, let's see if you can get this one. Let's try this one out, all right? Some say it came from a tropical monkey, right? Others say it was a government-planned disease that was released upon the public. But wherever it came from, the facts are this. Right now, tens of millions of people have it, and worldwide millions are getting it every single year. In fact, in 1998 alone, the combined wars in Africa killed 200,000 people, but this virus killed 10 times more than that. And now the infections are being spread even through things like blood or body fluids, even breast milk. It's everywhere and anybody can get it. And it all starts off with a seemingly simple headache, and then all of a sudden it turns into a fever. But that leads into a case of sore muscles and a stomach ache. And in fact, most people think it's just merely a case of the flu, but it's not. This killer virus is there. It's multiplying in your body. It's starting to destroy your immune system. And the next thing you know, this disease is full-blown, whereupon the person's last days are typically spent dying from a multitude of ways, such as pneumonia, skin cancer, tumors, and even eating your body alive. Oh, you might live for several years, you might die in a few days, but with medication, you might be able to slow it down, but it's still a matter of time, you're going to die. Why? Because there is no cure. The year is 2018. The killer virus is HIV/AIDS. Whoa. Don't even talk about that very much anymore, do we? But it's still out there doing its deadly thing, unfortunately. But again, folks, you know the theme. I think we've all heard of the AIDS virus, okay? Okay, and I'm not here to make fun of that or anything. That's a serious issue, okay? And you know the theme. With all due respect for those who have lost their lives with the AIDS virus, what if I were to tell you, I know of a disaster that makes the AIDS virus look like a mild case of acne in comparison. Again, with all due respect, okay? And folks, what if I were to tell you that this disaster didn't occur just one place in one country at one time? It's going on right now, today, all over the world, and it's been leaving a trail of death and destruction, not just in our generation, but for centuries. Folks, once again, we are talking about the satanic war on the Christian. And again, the facts are this. We Christians need to wake up. We do not go to battle here and there once in a while. We go to war every single day. And whether you see it, feel it, believe it or not, the moment you got saved, you entered into, whether you like it or not, you entered into a spiritual war against a real-life demonic host whose sole purpose every single day, 24/7, is out there to get you to destroy your walk and your effectiveness for Jesus Christ. And so in order for you and I to stop getting duped and unnecessarily so, is the key phrase there, unnecessarily so, beat up and duped all over the place, we're going to continue our study, the satanic war on the Christian. Now, we've already seen if you're going to win that war, what do you got to do? It's common sense, right? You got to know who your enemy is. This is real stuff. It's not make-believe. The second thing, what your enemy is like. The third thing, the tactic of your enemy. The fourth thing, the destruction of your enemy. The fifth thing, the temptation of your enemy. And last time we began the final one, and that's the sixth thing, the protection, praise God, from the enemy, right? It's not just he's out there and, okay, good luck. No, praise God. As we saw, God has not left us hanging high and dry when it comes to dealing with the daily battle that we're in with what? With real, live, demonic forces out there set against us. What we begin to see is the armor of God. God has given us his full-blown protection with his amazing weaponry that we can, listen, stand our ground and be victorious in what? Every single situation, not some, all of them, every single time, if you just do what God says, we have that victory in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Okay, now, what we saw is the armor of God is designed for war. Hello. Again, this is not some fashion statement. Hey, look at me. Look at my armor. My armor's cooler than yours. Bobby, hey, my armor's cooler. No, what's it designed for? Armor is designed for war, okay? And we saw that in two ways last time if you were here. The context of Scripture, how many times does God got to say battle, fight, struggle, war, soldier, weapons, right? We are in a war. This is not a cakewalk. That's mistake number one that people make, okay, when it comes to the armor of God. Number two, we saw also the unfortunate news, the catastrophe of the churches. Remember that? We took a look at the seven churches, right? Even Ephesus, to whom this passage on the armor of God was written to, how'd they survive? They didn't. They went out of existence. Even the actual church who first heard this message about the good news of the armor of God to stand firm in all situations, they didn't. Why? Because they didn't take it serious. And once you start to go down that route that they did, you lose your first love for Jesus. It goes downhill from there. Five out of the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, five out of seven went belly up. Why? And I think a lot of it has to do they didn't take this serious. We are in a war. This is designed for war. The armor of God is designed for war, and we've got to do what God says to do. Now, that's the challenging news to wake up. It's designed for war. The awesome news on top of that, it's like icing on the cake. The second thing we see about the armor is it's designed for what? It's designed to freak you out. It's designed to make you scared. Don't you ever come out of your house. No! Yes, we're in a war. Bingo. It's to use it for victory. God gives us his armor so we're not a bunch of losers, right? Turn to somebody and say, don't be a loser. Get the armor on. That's what it's for, okay? Now, as we saw last week, this is the good news, right? Notice the key phrase there. It's the armor of Bobby. No, sorry. That's what you get for sitting on the front row, right? No, it's Mary's armor. Everybody go to Mary's house and grab some armor. She's whipping it out. No, it's the armor of God. Now stop and think about what that means. It's not my armor. It's not your armor. It's not the armor you get at Walmart and it's made pretty shoddy and it falls apart 3 days later. No, it's what? It's God's armor. It's the actual armor of God. So guess what? That means, listen, if you just do what he says, you cannot lose. Why? It's not my armor. It's God's armor. God never loses. And he gives us his armor. So what does that tell us? It's designed for victory. Okay? How many guys can figure that out without any help? Praise God. Now, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, I'm here to help you out. Okay? We're going to find that out. Okay? So let's go back and take a look at this great news that God has not just given us his armor because we're in a war. He's given it so we can win. He wants us to experience that victory. So let's get back to that text there, Ephesians chapter 6. Okay? We're going to take a look, not the whole passage. Last week was just kind of an overview. Now we're going to begin to start shredding it apart. First three verses, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, the armor of God. Why does he give it to us? Okay. Is it really for victory? Uh-huh. I think so. But let's read that text again. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 13. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's word. Here's what it says. Now, finally, remember what that means? It's kind of like a therefore. If you see a therefore, you ask the question, what's it? Therefore, right? So finally, so what's the context? He says, here's our position in Christ we saw last week. Here's how you're to put that into practice. So guess what? You live the Christian life. Finally, you better get ready for some war because somebody doesn't want you to do that, right? So finally, what do? Be strong in who? The Lord and in his what? Mighty power. Ooh, wait till we get to that. Put on the what? Full armor of God so that you can, not maybe, not might, can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Why? Because here's what you're up against, Christian. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities. It's against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when, not if, the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to what? To Sam. Well, now you can be seated. We did some standing. But what we see here again is the reason why we need the armor of God. Okay? Yes, we're in a war, but what? The armor of God gives us the ability to stand strong, to stand consistency in what? In the mighty power of God. Number two, it gives us the ability to effectively struggle. Remember that word from last week we saw in the Greek? What's it mean? Our struggle? It's hand-to-hand combat with the goal is to put your foot on somebody's neck so they would die and get the death penalty, right? That's what we're struggling against. It gives us the ability to effectively struggle to come out on top against the evil ones that really are coming our way, not if, but when it happens, okay? Then we saw it's also give us the ability to stand our ground, listen, Christian, not to buckle, not to break under spiritual pressure, not to bend when it comes to spiritual attacks, and that when it's all said and done, when the dust settles, we're still standing. Unlike we saw the five out of seven churches last week. But in short, as we can see here in those three verses there, the armor of God is designed for victory. Amen? Okay? And we're going to see that in a couple of ways. And the first way we see that is the need for victory. Let's start tearing those three verses apart, okay? And we're actually going to start with the problem, right? There is a need for victory. Why? Because tucked right in the middle of these three verses is the reason why, right? And here's what we see here. Ephesians 6, Verse 12, for our struggle, hand-to-hand combat in the Greek, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Right? And so Paul is very clear here. He tells us the reason why God is providing victory for us. We've seen this week after week after week. Why is he giving us the armor in the first place? Why are we to stand strong in God's mighty power? Why are we to put on the armor of God, as we saw in the Greek? You put it on now, and you leave it on. Why? Because of that. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, whether you see it or not, Christian, not all of our struggles are just natural. It's supernatural. It's not just people. It's demonic. It's not just people being oppressed demonically. Some of them are internally possessed. But that's the battle. It's not just flesh and blood. It's supernatural. It's real life demons there. Now, the key phrase that delineates that in the phrase there is the word against. Did you notice that? It's against. It's against. It's against. And he starts to categorize it. It's against demonic powers. It's against demonic entities. And they work against us in a hierarchical structure. Did you notice that? He didn't just say demons. He literally broke it down into different categories. And each individual category apparently is against us. This section of demons is against us. This section is against us. This section is... Do you get it? Now, on one hand, that really shouldn't surprise us. Because when you take a look at angels... Okay, demons are the fallen category. Originally, God created them differently, just like with people. Different classifications. Let me give you a little test on that, right? First of all, we see there's a category of angels called seraphim. Okay, you see that in Isaiah chapter 6. There's another category called cherubim. Okay, you see that in Genesis, Exodus, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, and some other passages. I'm not going to name them all, okay? But there's seraphim. That's a category. There's cherubim. You see just angels in general. Okay, Old and New Testament, there's too many passages to name, but you see that. You also see archangels, right? So another category, if you will. 1 Thessalonians 4, Jude chapter 1. And then you see this hierarchical structure busted out in Ephesians 6. Rulers, principalities, or powers, again, depending on your translation there. That's one category. Authorities, powers, or world forces, again, depending on your translation. Powers of this dark world, rulers of the darkness of this world, or forces of darkness, again, depending on your translation. And finally, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Some say spiritual wickedness in high places. Another translation, forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Right? So as you can see, angels are what? They come in different categories, right? Different functions, apparently. We're not always told exactly how that breaks down, but we're told that there's a different hierarchical structure. Okay? Now, it's the same thing when it comes to demons. So let's go back towards the beginning of our study on spiritual warfare, and let's remind ourselves, well, that's just angels in general. What about these fallen angels? Well, what's he talking about? Well, let's go back and do that little test we did before. Where did they come from? Just get into our context here. Well, first of all, angels, okay, the Hebrew word malak just means messenger. When you see it in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's the Greek word angelos, means messenger as well. That's all it is. It just means a messenger, right? Originally, all angels were good. They were messengers of God. Well, it got messed up. We'll get to that in a second. Now they're into two different categories, two main categories. You have the good ones, the holy, unfallen, elect angels. We see that 1 Timothy 5. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels, the good ones, the ones that stayed with God, right? Then we got the unholy, the fallen, or what we call demons, okay? Satan, of course, fell. He's the one that started the rebellion. Isaiah 14, he was an angel, right? Isaiah 14, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, here's the rebellion, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost high sacred mountain. I will ascend above to the tops of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. How many guys would say Satan had an eye problem? And you've heard me say this, I'm blue in the face. The number one rule of Satanism, the number one law, is do what I will. Do what you will shall be the whole law. All this I business, self comes first, self-love, self. That's what caused the fall of Satan. And then you wonder why everybody's growing up acting like little devils. We're teaching them to be Satanists. Right? Go back to the scripture. Right? Well, but guess what? The job's not open, Satan. But you were brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. Well, he didn't keep them to himself. Apparently there was a rebellion that went on, and he took one third of the angels with him. They became, as we saw before, the unfallen, or the fallen angels, the demons. Okay, we see that Revelation 12:4. His tail, in the context, speaking of Satan, swept a third of the stars, angels out of the sky, and flung them to the earth. Right? So that's where you got that. Now, where are they at now? This is what Paul is dealing with here in Ephesians chapter 6. Okay? Well, you got some that are bound, and they ain't ever getting out. Right? That's a classification here. Then you got some that are active. Now, those are the ones that we still have to deal with today. Those are the ones that Paul's referring to here in Ephesians 6 in the armor of God. Now, the ones that are bound, some of them, it's a permanent binding, right? We see that in 2 Peter 2 and Jude 6. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, literally Tartarus, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, right? Jude 6, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he kept in chains of darkness, bound for everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. So there's some demons that are permanently bound, they ain't ever getting out, right? As we saw before in Genesis 6, some of the things that went on in the days of Noah. Now, some are bound right now, but guess what? They temporarily get to be leased upon the planet in the 7-year tribulation as an act of judgment of God. The planet is going to be covered with demons during that time. You don't want to be there. And we see that Revelation 9, right? When he opened the abyss, the abyssos, smoke rose up from it like smoke from a gigantic furnace. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth. They had tails and stings like scorpions. And their tails had power to torment people for 5 months. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Going to be a horrible time. Man, you need to get saved if you're not saved, right? But guess what? There's still some loose, if you will, on the planet, okay? They're not a loose cannon on the deck, okay? But they're still loose. That's what Paul is talking about today. Our struggle is against this, not just flesh and blood. This is the entities that we got to deal with, right? It's not against flesh and blood. It's against these guys, the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. So what do you do? Put on that full armor of God so that when they come after you, what are you going to do? You're going to be able to not have to freak out. Just stand. Stand your ground, right? But I got to throw this one in there. Guess what? Loser! Every one of you lose, man. Because Jesus said, every one of you are going into, including Satan, the lake of fire. Praise God. Matthew 25. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who curse, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, i.e. the demons, okay? Now again, so if you study the scripture, Paul talking about this struggle, what are we up against? He's starting to bring it down into a hierarchical structure of these demons. When you look at angels in general, that shouldn't surprise us. But what is the point in that? He tells us this is real. And these entities really are working in a hierarchical fashion in order together against us. Do you get it? They work together. Demons work together. But they work together what? Against us. There's a need for victory is what he has there. This is not a game. Our battle, he says, is not against flesh and blood. It's real life demonic forces working in a hierarchical faction every single day. And one guy says, the sooner you realize this, Christian, the better. Okay? One guy, he puts it this way. He says, notice the word there in this passage, against. Right? It separates each of the categories. You got principalities, you've got powers, you're against rulers, you're against wicked spirits, okay? Basically, this is categories of demonic beings. We are fighting a superhuman foe, highly and intensely organized. You get that? In God's order, originally, he created the angels organized. God created all the angels at one time. He created them differently, apparently, just like people are different, angels are different. There's all kinds of angels. That means that, guess what? Demons have distinctions too. He says, in fact, I believe that behind the scenes, the ruling world are demonic forces. People are always asking, do you believe in those conspiracy theories where there's real life actual demons behind the scenes, you know, moving and he, absolutely. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind there is a global conspiracy in which demons are involved in high places, working the world to their own ends. There's no question about that. Demons are behind the systems of the world. The Old Testament says the gods of the nations are demons. He says, there's no question that in my mind that there were, we may not have seen them. I've heard stories about it though, personally, if you've done the research. He says, you may not have seen it, but there were demons behind people like Hitler. There's no question in mind that they're very active in other world rulers in the past, like Napoleon or Alexander the Great, on and on. Satan is the prince of this world. He has infiltrated this world with a network of world rulers that are demonic. And the way that the world is going is because of this demonic influence. And he said, I remember talking to a young man who'd come out of the occult, and he was making into the high ranks there, high levels, and got into all kinds of opportunities in the occult, and they started giving him some high-level information. And he said, at one point, they were telling them and teaching him about a demonic network of how demons were involved in all kinds of things. Then they even began to give him the name of certain demons that were involved in the United Nations and certain demons that were occupying themselves in various continents and various countries. And he told me things that were beyond my comprehension. In fact, if you go to the UN, we dealt with this on our Wednesday night study. If you go to the UN has a meditation room. There is a spirit, a demonic spirit that is governing that body, folks. And by the way, do you need to look much further? Anybody that is against Israel, who do you think is behind that? So, folks, this is real. And he says that, listen, there is no doubt about this biblically. Because that's what we're seeing here. They're really out there in this hierarchical fashion, working, getting involved, doing this stuff. And he says, so what we're saying is this, we are in a warfare against somebody, a supernatural foe that is sophisticated. They are a high-ranking, powerful demons who are principalities and powers. There's others who have found themselves to be occupying places of world leadership. They indwell world rulers. The battle lines are drawn, and it's against this incredible force that we fight as Christians. We're pitted against an enemy that is beyond us. We can't see them. We can't touch them. We can't outthink, outwit. They are deceiving. They're liars. They're powerful. They're supernatural, superhuman. This is where the battle lies. And the reason why God says to put the armor on now and leave it on is because of this. And aren't you glad he told you? Instead of wondering, why, how come? He doesn't just tell us, he gives us the solution for the victory. You put that armor on. He says, and again, the sooner you realize this, the better off you're going to be. But this is what we see, folks. Okay, you got to get that armor on. You got to leave it on. Why? Because it's designed for victory. You don't have to freak out. You don't have to run. You don't have to be scared, Christian. How many times have we seen that? You just take God's provision and experience the victory, right? We are against, listen, demonic forces every single day, Christian. We may not be involved in the government. We may not be involved in the UN. We may not be involved in all that kind of stuff. But we're everyday life, they're after, what's the word there? Against us too. Especially in the context of Ephesians, if you're really living for Jesus. Really against you. Oh, and by the way, if you're a Christian and you're not living for Jesus, they already got you. What's the old phrase? It's supposed to be from Adrian Rogers, right? If you got no persecution, no friction, no spiritual friction in your walk, Christian, no heat, everything's just happy-chappy all the time, maybe it's because you and the devil are going the same direction. Right? But this is what we're dealing with. They disrupt, they discourage, they deceive, they discomfort, they disarm, they dissatisfy, they dissuade, they distract, they disappoint, they disgruntle, they dishearten, they dishevel, they distress, they disqualify, they disquiet, they dispossess, they disturb, they destroy, they divide Christians and churches. Paul is in essence saying, Christian, we've got to wake up. There is a need for victory here. The enemy's not just real. He's really out there. They're really working against us. Listen, in a unified fashion. Why? Because listen, even the devil knows the power of a unified, working together, lock and step force. He's just using that unity with the demons for his evil ends. But the devil knows the power of a unified body, a group of entities. And so here's my point. Is it any wonder? That's what you're getting just from verse 12. Is it any wonder that the enemy works so hard at getting us Christians and the church, what? Not in unity. Not in harmony. We're all divided. We're all pieced up. We're all disorganized. We're all in disarray. It's the exact opposite of what Christ has called us to be one in him. Even the devil knows the power of a unified force. And so don't kid yourself, if you're experiencing division in your personal walk with Jesus Christ, it ain't just natural. If you're experiencing division in your marriage, if you're experiencing division and disarray, disorganization in your home, in your church, guess what? I'll guarantee it's not natural. The enemy knows the power all too well being unified. He uses that unity against us.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.